Hi, I'm Phil Newman, and welcome to the Impact Online podcast. We are so glad you're here.
Well, welcome, Impact Online. I am so glad you're here today, and I'm so excited to be sharing a word with you. Last week, our lead pastor, Pastor Phil, introduced a new series to us, and it's called Pray Like This, and it's where we're actually going to be going through the Lord's Prayer each and every single week and breaking down line by line what the Lord's Prayer actually means to us and our lives and how we relate to God. Absolutely an awesome series. It's phenomenal, and I can't wait for just what God's going to do through it. And this week, I'm really excited because I get to jump into the next section, which is where we talk about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'm going to read this whole scripture for you. It's actually found in Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13. We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer all together, and then we're going to break it down. So it says this. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and only to his disciples here. It says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us of our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Now, listen, I just read that out of the NIV, and if you're anything like me, I have memorized that Bible verse from the New King James for years and years. It still kind of freaks my brain out. But you know what I absolutely love in this is that this is a really clear direction from Jesus to his disciples, giving them a model on how to pray, a model on how to relate to God and how God relates to them and how they relate to their world and show their world that they are disciples of Jesus. So last week, like we said, Pastor Phil broke open Our Father in Heaven. And this week I have the wonderful opportunity of opening up Hallowed Be Your Name. Now, when we read this line here, Hallowed Be Your Name, what we're really saying and what Jesus is saying here is, holy is your name. Holy is God's name. I love this idea that God is holy. Yet when we look at this passage of Scripture, does praying Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, does that bestow upon God a greater sense of holiness than he already has? Is that our way of giving God more glory? You know, the simple answer is no, of course not. God is holy. God has always been holy, is holy today, and will always be holy. No, what we see here is Jesus, like I said, giving his disciples some direction in how to relate to God and how to start prayer. You see, when we say, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, what we're really doing is we're starting our prayer by giving God his rightful glory, his rightful place in our lives, and we're saying he is holy, he is good, his love is so good, his will is so good on our lives. We're giving ourselves the perspective of how to pray really well and God's perspective on our lives. Now, the title of my message, the theme of my message today is Hallowed is Your Name, and that's really a prayer of perspective, a prayer that we can take God's perspective for our lives and make sure that that transfers into each and every single thing we do. So the greatest perspective shift that you can ever have in your life as a Christian, and we've got to remember here, Jesus is talking to his disciples. This is implied that Jesus is talking to someone who is a follower of him. He's talking to his disciples. Now, we know this is probably the most common prayer known in the world, and anyone can pray it. And that's the wonderful thing about God. He wants relationship with us all. But for us to understand this today, I want us to really look at it from a context of someone who's following Jesus. And you might not be following Jesus in your world. That's okay. Absolutely, God loves you. God has a plan for you. And wherever you are on that journey, his message is the same for you, that you're loved and valued and that he is holy and he is good and his will is good for your life. But today, when we see this prayer, we see Jesus giving his disciples some direction on how to relate. And the greatest perspective shifter we can ever have is to see God for his holiness, to see God for his perfect will and way and direction that he provides to our life. An amazing perspective shifter to put God in his holy place. You know, the really challenging thing though is to put God in his rightful place, to understand that His holiness and His will in our lives is perfect, it actually, for a Christian, for someone who's believing and following Jesus, it demands action. It demands change. And I love that the next passage of Scripture, and I'm not going to jump on next week's toes, but I love that the next line of this prayer is, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy is your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." See, that's a call to action, that God's perfect will and way, what He has in heaven, God always designed and purposed for us to exist and live in that. And you know what? Through the whole Bible story, we see that we live in a world that is not perfect, but our lives as Christians is to put God and understand who God is and how much God loves us, understand that and bring that perspective of heaven to earth. It requires and it demands action. When we think about how much our God loves us and we think about His perfect plan for our lives, sometimes I think when we think about that and we go, well, I've got to action something in my world, we can almost become overwhelmed with, well, what do I action first? I remember when I first became a Christian, I've been a Christian now 20 odd years, but I started coming to youth ministry. I'm like, oh my goodness, what is this massive plan that you're all talking about on my life? What does it look like? I'm going to go to the ends of the earth. I'm going to preach the gospel. And while that has been true, and I've got the wonderful opportunity to go out there and spread the gospel in many parts of our nation and the world, the simple fact is that God's plan on my life has always been far more day-to-day than I ever thought it would be. In fact, God's perspective changer on my life, understanding His holiness, means that I've got to understand that it's the little things every single day that can make the biggest difference. One of the most difficult questions we can ask ourselves, and I think this is often found as we start to question and understand our perspectives and understand who God is in our lives, is, are we actually God followers? Are we disciples? Are we Christians? Are we Jesus followers? Or are we God-conscious, well-moraled people? You see, to be God-conscious and well-moraled is a wonderful and it's a great thing, but it won't necessarily change the world because it doesn't speak of having a deep and intimate relationship with God that comes from this space of being a disciple or a follower of God and understanding His holy plan for our life. So when we look at, well, what can I action? What change do I make? We need to look at the day-to-day things in our world and what are we doing to show our world who God is? And what are we doing to make sure that our lives are reflecting Jesus? You know, we can't reflect God, we can't reflect being a disciple of Jesus without relationship. Now, I don't know about you, I'm a married man, I've been married plenty of years now and I've got a few kids. And one of the most important things, no matter what your love language is, one of the most important things in this world is to create space and time for the relationships that you value. I can tell my wife she's the bee's knees. I love her and she's important to me and I couldn't be with anyone else. And I can say all those things. But if my relationship with my wife never involves time, space, intimacy, and relationship, I actually probably don't value that relationship as much as I think I do. That's a really challenging thought when we start to look at our relationship with God. We can say that we are a Christian, a disciple, not just a God-conscious, moral person, but a disciple, a Christian, I love you, God. But when we start to really look at our lives and the time in our lives, the space in our lives, how much of it do we give to relationship with God? How much space do we create for God to speak to us, to recognize His holiness, and allow that holiness to transfer in our lives through relationship? Our most perfect example of a Christian is Jesus. When we read the Bible, the point of the Bible is to see how the God-man, God in flesh and bones, related to God the Father in heaven and lived on earth. And we can see over and over again that Jesus took time to spend time with God. He created space in His schedule to spend time with God. Now, I'm not going to sit here and break down what a Jewish man's life 2,000 odd years ago looked like and how it's different to our lives today, because you know what? You and I both know it's very different. But the basic concepts of relationship and investment and time are the same. Jesus had 24 hours a day when He was alive. You and I have 24 hours a day right now. What do we do with that space? We can see here in Luke 5, verse 16, it says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now, I love this Bible verse because it says Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, to intimate places, to places where he could be alone, just him and God. But we see it over and over again. We see that before Jesus picked the disciples, he spent time alone with God before making that massive decision. When Jesus first was baptized by John the Baptist, the first thing he did was go into the wilderness to be on his own for 40 days and 40 nights to face the greatest trial, the greatest temptation of his life. We see that when his friend died, when his friend passed away, that Jesus, John the Baptist, he withdrew and went away to be on his own with God so he could grieve. Jesus often understood that he was a man, he had emotions, he lived this life, he had the same temptations, the same frailties of you and I, but he understood the power of relationship to be alone with God to make sure he could face the day-to-day trials. In my life, I started something a couple of years ago. I had read a couple of books that talked about this concept of documenting the time that we take to do things in our lives. Now, I'm going to be really honest with you. When I first read about this, it was part of a book that I was reading, and the challenge was to do this. And really, I only committed to this challenge because it was part of the book, and my personality's wired that way. If I'm committed to something, I'm going to give it all. I'm going to do everything it says, even the things that I think might be a little bit, you know, out there and maybe aren't going to impact my life the way that they say they will. And the challenge in this book was to write down minute by minute what you do in life. What time do you wake up? How many hours of sleep did you have? Based on what you did before you went to bed, do you feel well rested? Did you sleep enough? What did you eat for breakfast? How much time did you take to eat? We're documenting how much time I spent in the car traveling for work. How much time I spent playing on my phone. How much time I spent reading my Bible, reading a book. How much time I spent praying. How much time I spent with my wife, with my children. How much time I spent at church. And really documenting these things down minute by minute. Now, the crazy thing is, to talk about a perspective challenger, when I looked at the things that I said I really valued in my life compared to the amount of time that I gave those things, there was actually quite a significant difference between how much I said I loved God, but how much I watched Netflix. How much I said I loved my wife, but how much I spent time watching sport on TV or at work. And I know work's important, it's essential, but when I really started to write these things down, I realized that there was a lack of balance between the things that I said I loved and valued and the time that I gave to them, compared to the time that I gave to things that were probably not essential, not 100% important in my life, yet I would give a large majority of time to that than I would to the things that I really valued. When we look at one of the greatest challenges I think the modern day Christian, the modern day Western Christian faces, is that we face all the same temptations and trials as those that have come generations before us. But one of the greatest things we face today is the ability to fill every single space in our life with something. We've lost the ability to be bored. We've lost the ability to not have a phone in our hands the moment we have to wait in a takeout line. We've lost the ability to sit in the car and not have something on the radio, a podcast, or even, you know, I've seen some cars driving around with TVs in them and the kids are watching in the back. I think that's fine, and as long as we're still in balance, but the thing is that we can so easily find our lives unbalanced. We look at Jesus. Jesus took the time to spend alone time with God so he could do his ministry. When we look at our lives, what does the balance look like to that which we say we love, to that which we actually do? When we look at this prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name." Does our lives reflect that holiness perspective? Or does our lives actually reflect an imbalance of things that really bring no glory to ourselves, bring no glory to God, and therefore aren't that valuable? You know, when I look at Jesus, his whole life was balanced. Now, you could walk away from this message today and sit here and go, Oh my goodness, Jesse was talking to me about making sure that my life is 100% devoted to God, so I'm going to go quit my job, I'm going to chuck my phone in the bin, I'm going to go live in a monastery, and I'm going to do nothing but pray and think about Jesus. Well, let's look at Jesus' life again. Jesus' life was all about balance. Did Jesus only spend time on the mountain praying? No. He spent the time that he needed on the mountain praying, but he also spent time with his community, with his disciples, with friends, with family. He spent time in meals together. Now, he didn't have a TV and he didn't have a phone, but I'm sure he might have gone and sat and watched the ducks on the lake or something like that with his friends to do. He might have played a game of sport. We don't see this in the Bible, but Jesus was balanced in his life that he gave glory to God in every single thing he did, but his life was balanced to make sure that the things that we should value, he valued. Our greatest example, Jesus, valued community, relationship, and discipleship. When you look at your world today, friend, when you look at your life, do you value community? Do you value relationship? Do you value being a disciple of Jesus? And does your life and the space that you create in your life reflect God in all of those things? I really pray, I really hope today that you could take this message and take small, actionable steps to give God space. Take small, actionable steps to make sure your life reflects the glory of God. And usually I'd have 3 points and I might have a 3-part challenge, but today my challenge to you is just one thing. What do you spend your time on? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you that you love us so much. I thank you that you have given us all the same amount of time and given us all the ability to create space for that which you value and you find important. I pray today, God, that we would not be discouraged by this message, but we would be encouraged to live a life that gives glory to you, that we would live a life that reflects your holiness. And we would live a life, God, that shows so clearly to our world that that which you valued, we valued. We thank you, God, for our friends, our families. We thank you, God, for our church and our communities. We thank you, God, for our relationship with you. We thank you, God, that you are so good. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Well, I hope this message has encouraged you today, friend. We'll see you real soon.
Thanks for listening to our Impact Online podcast. We release a new episode every week and you can access all our podcasts, videos via our website. Visit impactchurch.me for lots of extra resources. We'll see you next time at Impact Online.